Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the fifth Pasuk. Yesterday, we began this most important Pasuk that compares the great woman and also the great person to a cargo ship. And we said yesterday that it is our obligation to understand what this mashal is, what this parable is coming to teach us. In our days, when we learn parables, we have to spend extra time on the actual mashal. As many times, the mashal itself is something that we don't know what it is. So it's important to understand the mashal, and from there, you'll be able to understand the nimshal. Because if you don't have good knowledge of the mashal, it's going to be very hard to understand what the message of this pasuk is. So again, we mentioned yesterday already something unique that the pasuk says about a cargo ship, in that mimmerhak tavi lahma. We mentioned yesterday that the results that the Eshet Chayil is going to see in her life are going to be results that are far away. The investments of the moment that produce quick results usually are not the ones that bring the best ending. But the ones that are investments in the further in merhak are the ones that really produce real, long-lasting, true success. So the Eshet Chayil, as we mentioned yesterday, the small things she's doing day to day, which doesn't create a lot of fanfare and noise immediately, those things are the cargo, memerhak, that she's going to be able to see the results long term. So let's take one aspect of a ship and see how that is going to be relevant to the Eshet Chayil. One of the things that one will notice when they see a ship going through the ocean is that it seems very peaceful. The ocean in general is a peaceful place. People sometimes go sit by the water to find peace. The water, the sound, the color, all of it creates this serene type of relaxed mood. And when you see a ship in this ocean traveling, that same theme continues. However, one must not be fooled that a ship traveling in the ocean has many challenges that will creep up on the boat, on the ship, and make destruction. Don't be fooled by the calmness of the ocean. A person in a calm place may be misled by the calmness to believe that there is no danger. And the ship is that great example that despite the calmness and the serenity, there are many dangers that the ship has to be prepared for. One of the dangers is, of course, the salt water. Salt water is not a nuclear bomb that falls on the ship and destroys it instantly. Salt water doesn't even look like it's doing anything. It's just water. You don't even see the salt. But be sure to know that salt water slowly eats away at the metal of the ship. At no moment will you see that. At no moment will you see the destruction of the ship. If the ship is coated and protected, it'll be fine. But if it's not, slowly but surely, it will weaken, it will rust, even when everything seems perfectly fine on the surface. That's one of the challenges of having a healthy ship. Be careful of the erosion or the corrosion that happens when you're going through life. Things might seem peaceful right now. You have your home, you have your family, the children are small, things are quiet. You may feel like you're somewhere in the ocean, expecting wonderful results. But you may not be realizing that there are things happening in your life, in your relationships, things happening in your children's lives that are slowly destroying them. And you're not paying attention because from the external view, things look pretty calm and nice and wonderful. And the salt waters of life might be eating up at them. Different people saying things, different reactions, different relationships, different things that they're being exposed to. You don't see anything. Everything is nice and calm and beautiful. Smiles all around, happiness. But the salt waters of life are making their impact because there's no protection. Whether the people in the home are spending time in the wrong places, whether they have in their hands very dangerous devices. Talk to an average father and mother. Today's world, their best babysitter is some electronic device. So nice, makes life so easy. The house is all flying. The kids are fighting. They're arguing, they're jumping, they're opening things, they're dropping things, noisy. And all of a sudden comes the ocean. Give them an iPad or some other item, and all of a sudden you see the ship in the ocean. Sailing. Sailing beautifully, calmly. They say, wow. Baruch Hashem, Shehayanu, Vekiyemanu, Vekiyanu, Lazman, Azeh. What did they used to do in all the time? Hazaton, those people, poor people, miskinim. Today we have the way to raise our children without all the commotion. We give them a device. Calm, like sitting by the ocean. Very nice. The mother looks down, she sees her home quiet. Father comes home, sees everything is in order. No cabinets are open, no toys on the floor. Nobody's fighting, nobody's arguing. You say, this is a magic solution. What an item. No home like this home. No ship like this ship that travels with such calmness. As this is happening, the salt waters, the dangers are eating at the very fabric of that child's soul. 1 minute at a time. Of course, you will never see a difference from 1 hour to another. The opposite, you'll see only good things, calmness, peace. The dangers that eat up at the person's fabric happens very slowly in the life of calmness. Believe it or not, a house that's flying with toys all over the place, with kids running, opening, closing, breaking, shouting. Specifically, it could be that house has more positive production. But the one that everybody's sitting in their corner, quietly doing their own thing, it could be that's where the corrosion is. When a ship is going through the ocean, there's in the ocean, there are these tiny creatures that attach themselves, plants that stick themselves, particles that connect themselves to the bottom of the ship. Of course, they're not dangerous. You don't even know they're there. But if you keep going without fixing and removing them, at some point, they're going to be so large that they're going to weigh down the entire ship. And it's going to be very hard to move the ship. It's not going to be as smooth sailing. Because there are things on the bottom of the ship that are weighing it down from all the years of the things that grew on it. And the same in life. The many comments that a young person will hear from his father, the way he talks to his mother. It's registering. One little clint, one little item at the bottom of the ship. Another comment by the mother back to the father. Another little item. The uncle that comes for Friday night dinner. You know that uncle? You have one like that? Everyone's got the uncle. The uncle that comes to the Friday night dinner and just spews all kinds of terrible things. Letzanut, making fun, putting down, mocking. Everyone's got that guy somewhere in their orbit. One Friday night dinner with that uncle. Another piece of dirt attached. Of course, you will not see the difference. It's happening. The wrong music. the wrong words, the wrong people, the wrong tunes. Day by day, attaching themselves, the pictures, the attitudes. It's happening. A father and mother, they don't see anything. They don't see any effects. I don't see the difference between before the song and after the song. Nothing happens. The same kid. I'm the same person. We're talking about children, but it's the same about the person himself. I don't see anything in my ship. Good. The song made a difference. The picture made a difference. The comments make a difference. The attitude that I was around makes a difference. It sure does. 20 years later, you'll see the guy slow down. Not motivated. Attitude. And you never would have guessed. Even then you may not realize. But all those things along the way of the ship started to weigh it down. Where a person has lost his excitement for life, has lost his energy, has lost his passion, has lost his simha. The light ship has become very heavy to carry. Enough music has weighed it down from all the depressed souls that sing of the most horrible things. There'll come a time when those things become so big that it weighs the person, it weighs his soul, it weighs his brain. What I learned about ships, because I'm trying to understand the mashal, so I'm doing my research on ships. So what I'm telling you is not like something I knew before. Just doing my study. I'm following Shlomo Amelet's example, is that there are strong underwater currents. You don't see them. It's not waves. They're underwater currents that push and pull the ship. Interesting. And when it's not strong or balanced, these currents can cause damage and cracks and wear down the ship. And when you hear that about a ship, then you realize that in our lives, we also have undercurrents. Things that are not even visible. Like peer pressure. Like the inner fears. Loneliness. All the invisible currents, the undercurrents of life. That if you're not up and aware to watch in yourself and in your family, in your children, you can't see peer pressure. You don't see it. It's not there. Usually it's not spoken about either. People don't talk about what they feel. The fears, the inner fears, the feeling of loneliness, and many other undercurrents of life. You must be aware, if you're a ship, of these undercurrents. The Eshet Chayil is ka'oniyot zocher. As she takes her merchandise through life, she understands the undercurrents that exist. And even if you watch and everything on the outside may look okay, you have to look out for the invisible things that probably are taking place and figuring out how to solve them or make sure you are ahead of them. Because what you see isn't always what's reality. You could look at a teenager and say, I don't understand, everything is perfect. What's the problem? You look good, you have a nice family, you have money. Yeah, what's the problem? What's the issue? It's all undercurrents. Undercurrents that may have been able to be solved had you known that they existed earlier on in the game. That's the greatness of the Eshet Chayil. She's aware of the undercurrents. She's aware of the salt water. She's aware of all the things that attach themselves to the ship. And she's aware of the invisible undercurrents of what's going on inside her family. She can look at her husband and see one picture and understand the undercurrent of what's really happening under. Foolish is the person who judges people by what they say and by what they do. You have to know very often what they're saying is opposite of what they really want to say. You have to see what's under. When a person gives you the silent treatment, usually it means he wants to talk to you. Usually it means he's dying to talk to you, but he doesn't know how. He's in jail because he's got somewhere inside blocking him. You'd be foolish to play his game or think and translate what he's doing totally opposite of what the reality is. So many times, words that are said in anger, words like, I hate you, just means I really want to love you. That's all it means. It's exactly opposite, and you'd be foolish to go into that misunderstanding and go with it as if they meant that. The undercurrents. When a young person is not energized, we'd be fooled to think that he's just lacking Zerizut. How do we inject Zerizut in him? Usually that's not the issue. Usually he's weighed down by things. There are things that are holding him up, and that's why he can't move. Reading the undercurrents of another person is the key to reach success. Mimirhak tavi lahma. You got to be aware of them. If you're aware of them, you can take care of them. But you have to know they're there. Another situation that a ship has to deal with that can be dangerous is the constant changes. The weather changes. The sun heats the metal. The night cools it. Storms. All the different changes that the ship has to endure during its long journey. Is this not also a danger in the life of a beautiful family? The inconsistencies, all the different moods, the sunny days, the cloudy days. Families have hard days. Ups, the downs, the success, the failure. The Tisha B'Av day, the Purim day. It's all there. And through it all, you have to know how to have the proper attitude. Because if you don't adapt to the changes of life and know how to deal with them in the most appropriate way, any which way can be destruction. The Purim could be destruction and the Tisha B'Av could be destruction. The sun could destroy the ship and so could the storm, both ways. The night could be a problem, everything could be a problem. Knowing how to deal with the etz, etz is ayin tough, the etz, the moments of life. Knowing how to react when you have, God forbid, a tragedy. Someone passed away. Knowing how to react in such a situation is part of getting the ship to its destination successfully. Not knowing how to react when things are not so great is a huge failure on the ship. Knowing how to be happy and how to be dealing with an unhappy situation and all the things in between, all the different changes of life, the expected and the unexpected. I went out this morning, I thought this is going to happen. Something else happened. Change of plan, now what? The adjustment of the person towards the life situations that are presented to him are a key element in having a healthy ship. These are some of the examples of the dangers of the ship in the ocean and why it needs protection that apply in everyday life. I want to share with you, now in order to bring this down to real life, right now we're just talking examples, mashal, in order to bring down this concept that on the journey of life, there are many dangers and many of them are subtle and some of them invisible and all of different things. In order to understand the subject well, which is going to be our mission right now, we need to become familiar with a very powerful concept in this world that God created. And sometimes in life, there are certain principles that are there, but you just don't know about them. And because of your ignorance, you may feel that they don't exist. And may even find it hard to believe that they're even there. But this is going to be a very important part of our education if we're going to be able to appreciate the dangers of life. And it comes from this week's parasha.
Noah.
Parashat Noah. Min ha-shamayim. We know in Parashat Noah, the Pasuk says, Vayar Elohim et ha'aretz. Hashem saw the earth. Vehine nishhata. And the earth was corrupted. Ki hishchit kol basar et darko al ha'aretz. Because every flesh has become corrupt. Hashem told Noah, Ketz kol basar balefanai. The end of all flesh has come before me. It's done. I'm done. Vehineni mashchitam et haaretz. And I'm going to destroy them with the earth. The Midrash here on this Pasuk is very, very, very clear about what is being discussed. The Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah says, Rabbi Azariah b'shem Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon Amar. Rabbi Azariah says, Hakol kilkelu ma'asehen bedor hamabu. Everyone was corrupt. Everyone messed up in the generation of the Mabul, of the flood. And he goes into examples. HaKelev, Hayah Holech, Ach Etzel HaZeev, the dog and the wolf had a relationship. That's not normal. Dogs have relationship with dogs. And wolves with wolves. And here, the dog went to the wolf. Hatarnegol hayah mehalech etzel hatavas. The rooster would go next to the peacock. They got close. Says the Midrash, Hadahu dechtib. That's what the pasuk means. You missed it. Don't mistranslate it. Ki ishit kol basar. The pasuk says every flesh messed up. Says the Midrash, hishit kol adam en ketiv. It doesn't say every human messed up, but all flesh messed up. Comes Rabbi Luyani Bar Tavrin Beshem Rabbi Yitzhak Amar. Listen to what Rabbi Luyani says. Af ha'aretz zinta. If you think that was a hidush, I have a bigger hidush. Even the earth went off.
How does the earth go off?
Hayu zar'in lahitin. They would plant wheat kernels. Vehi mapeka zonin. And it would bring out something else, some other item. Unbelievable. That's what it means in the pasuk. Vayar Elohim et ha'aretz. Hashem saw that the earth itself, vehine nishata, it got messed up. Hard to believe. That's what happened. That's why the world had to be destroyed.
So he's drawn a faith.
And the obvious question on this pasuk, or even on this reality, is that we know that only humans have free choice. That's what makes us human. Is that we have the choice to become Moshe Rabbeinu. We have the choice to become Hitler. Yimach Shemo. Human, free choice. Nobody could say, oh, that's the way I was created. I was born Moshe Rabbeinu. I was born Rasha. You could be Yaakov, you could be Esav. It's your choice. One of the most important principles of life is that humans have free choice, and only humans have free choice.
Right.
So what are you punishing the animals and the earth by destroying them when they don't have free choice? Besides, if they have no free choice, how did they end up doing that? How did they change how God created them if they don't have free choice? How could the earth change its nature when God created it that way if it has no free choice? Big question. It's very nice. Pasuk, very nice. Midrash explains the whole thing, but doesn't explain that this goes against the entire principle of creation. Is that humans have free choice and everything else doesn't. Listen to this powerful understanding of life. If you never heard it before, you would never trip on it. And if I don't give you an example that you can understand, you would never believe it. We have a very known understanding of the human being. That things that he wasn't needy for, and his nature didn't require them, But if you would keep doing it again and again and again and again, he becomes much more hungry for that item. It's proven billions of times. There is no natural desire to smoke. It's not one of the natural desires of a human being. They are natural desires. Smoking isn't one of them. So here you have a 13-year-old young man has no desire to smoke. He may have a challenge because he sees others around him or others that he looks up to on his iPad when he watched it when he was 3 years old. He saw some cartoon smoking. But he himself doesn't really have a desire for it, except for external things that brought that challenge. He starts to smoke once and twice and three and four and five and seven and ten. I don't know exactly when the cutoff is, but at some point, he needs it. He's starving for it. Can't live without it. We call it addiction. But let's forget that word, because addiction hides what's actually happening. What's happening is that when you do something again and again and again, you become super needy and hungry of it. That's the way of a human being. Now, again, if I would have told someone this, who doesn't live on the planet, that a human being who doesn't need something, and if they do it again and again and again, then they desperately need it, they might not believe it. But everybody here knows this is the fact. Whether it's smoking, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's any other type of behavior that becomes a habit of a person, at some point they need it, they become it. That is something we all know. Even though it's a hidush, but we just know it because we see it. Along the same lines, the same way what I do is affecting me and changing me and making me hungrier for this or for that, the same way that happens, it also affects the world around me in the same way. That means if I do something again and again and again, not only am I developing a hunger for it, but the world around me is also being affected by my actions. And the dog also becomes hungrier for my actions. And the rooster. Now this, you would say, come on, really? What I do is going to change the reality of the things around me, the physical world, the animals, people, of course. Yes, you see it, how it changed you. So what's so hard to understand that it could change what's around you? What a human does has an effect on the world that he lives in. That's why the pasuk says, as an example, "Vatavo'u." Hashem says, "You came." "Vatetame'u et arzi." You made my land tamet. It's a hidush that we can make the land of Israel tamet. You can make yourself tamet. But you made the land tamet. How did I make the land tamet? Answer is, what you do affects the land. just as a mashal, but a real story.
It happened.
In Europe, one of the great rabbis writes, when he was a young person, in an old city in Europe, there was a very old hospital. So old was this hospital that people didn't even remember when it was built. It's a very, very old hospital. It was made from old material. And there was a big problem in the city. They realized that when people went to the hospital, they got more sick. Guy came in for an issue with his kidney. All of a sudden, he can't breathe. Guy came in for this, he got something else. They're realizing that something's wrong here. So they brought these experts from the big city to see what's wrong in the city or what's wrong in the hospital. And they came out that this hospital has been around for so long and all the different sicknesses of the people that have entered the walls of the hospital through the years has infected all of the material in all the walls. And when people walk into the hospital, they actually can be affected physically by all those sicknesses. And the only solution was to bring it down and burn it. It's an amazing thing. There's such a reality that a place that has a lot of sick people can become a sick place. And so too in the person's behavior. Our behavior affects the world around us. And that's what happened by the generation of the Mabul. I want you to hear the words of the Midrash. Or let me first tell you the words of the Mesilat Yesharim. So I don't want you to think like I'm coming to make things up here. In the first chapter of the Mesilat Yesharim, he says the following words. Ha'olam, the world, the physical world that you and I are in, each one has their own piece of the physical world, and we share the larger world together. Your world is your house, your car, your clothing, all the different things that belong to you. That's your world. And there's also a bigger world that we all share. So he says all of that. Ha'olam, this world that you and I live in, Nivra, was created leshimusha Adam. The world around us was created to serve us. Nice. So why is there brick? Why is there marble? Why is there glass? The materials for all of those things. Why is there wood? Why is there gold? Why is there silver? Why is there metals? All these things were creations of God. For what did God create all these things? Why is there air? Why is there an ocean? Why is there water? Why is there fruits? Why are there meat? What? Animals. Says the Ramhal that the world was created leshimush Adam. Just remember, the world around you was created to serve you. Very nice. Baruch Hashem. Come into this world, what service? We get a whole world serving us. The sun is serving us. The moon is serving us. Everything is serving us. Gotta look at the world that way. That the entire world is and was created to serve us. He said, Omnam, however, Hinehu omed b'shikul gadol. He says that this human stands in a very, at a balance, meaning there's a scale here. This service is not flat. There's an up and down. How does it work? He says, Ki im ha'adam nimshach ahara olam umitrahek mi bor'o. If a person himself in the world that he's in, becomes far away from his purpose, becomes a tameh person. His words are not the right words. His eyes aren't looking at the right things. His actions are not where they need to be. That's a person who took himself far away from his purpose. Something amazing happens. So we would say, okay, the guy is off the derech. He took himself way off. Says the Ramchal, amazing thing happens. Hine hu mitkalkel. Okay, that's not a hidush. That he himself gets ruined. Umekalkel ha'olam imo. And he ruins the world with him. Meaning the servants that God created for us are affected by us in their ability to serve us in the way that they could. It's unbelievable. That's why it says, some explain that by the dream of Yaakov Avinu, it says he saw a sulam. He saw a ladder, and he saw that Malachi Elohim, the angels of God, are olim ve'yordim bo. They're going up and they're going down. Which is, by the way, a hidush, because usually things go up before they go down. But that's the Malachi. Some explain, what does that mean? It means, Hashem was telling Yaakov Avinu, your actions in life, you know, the malachim of life are all the creations that Hashem made to serve you. What's a malach? Malach is God's messenger. The air is his messenger, the oxygen, the water, the fruits. Everything is God's messenger. Hashem created a world to be messenger for him to serve you. Hashem told him, this is your ladder. What you do not only raises you, but the malachim, the creation, all the angels, quote unquote, that I've created to serve you are going up or going down based on you. You're not just affecting yourself when you elevate, you're affecting the world around you. And so too the other way around. That was the message. Who's doing that? You. I'll just end off for today, because it's a big subject. For today, I want to end off from the last week's parashah. You know, we've read the story. I keep saying it many times. And every time is another part of the story. The first story of the Torah. Adam and Hava. Adam is warned. Don't eat from that fruit. He eats from the fruit. We know what happened. He gets thrown out of Gan Eden. Gan Eden was an awesome lifestyle. No death, no sickness, no parnasa issues. Everything was taken care of on the house. Beautiful. All Adam had to do was fulfill his mission, serve God, learn Torah, do mitzvot, whatever he had to do. To live a spiritual life. We know Adam ate. He made a mistake. Terrible mistake. But the effects of the mistake are shocking. Okay, he made one mistake. What happened with the mistake? He brought death onto his life. Whoa. Could you imagine that kind of reaction would happen when we make mistakes? You know how many forbidden fruits a person eats during his life? Imagine that would be the consequence. From one fruit, I don't know how many bites he took, but from one fruit, he brought death upon himself. You know the difference between living forever and living for a certain time period? You know how long forever is? How long is forever? You ever count? How long? Forever? Millions. Maybe even more. Maybe even, oh, billions. Maybe even more. Anyway, you know how big that consequence was? Eternity is forever. No matter how much you count, forever. Billions, trillions, ever. And now, death. Why? Because he ate the fruit. And from now on, Hashem told him, no more parnasa, no more easy road for you. You're going to have to sweat, make money, you lose money, the market, this, that. Paying the rent, paying the bills, buying homes, fixing them, making sure you afford the mortgage. I mean, all the parnasa issues. Think about the destruction. What's even more shocking is that not only did this tremendous consequence affect him and his wife, it was for all of humanity going forward. Billions of people all now have to suffer death and sickness and that. And parnasah issues. What is then, if you took away death and health issues and took away financial issues from people, what would happen? Gan Eden. Gan Eden. These two issues are the issues that make life very challenging. Hashem threw him out of Gan Eden, not only a place, he threw him out of the reality of Gan Eden. And the famous question is, first of all, Phil asked, what happened to Teshuvah? Can't make Teshuvah. What happened to the rest of humanity? What did they do? If my grandpa Adam made a mistake, so I have to pay for it. Punishing me? My grandpa sinned, I have to suffer the punishment for his action? I have to suffer parnasah issues because he made a mistake. How is that fair?
It was a free parod.
The whole thing is that. We don't punish people because their fathers are. Torah says you can't do that. So how does this make sense? Very important question. I want to read for you a midrash. It's a very powerful midrash on this story. Could be this is the message of this story. The midrash says, Besha'a shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Adam HaRishon, when Hashem created Adam HaRishon, He actually gave him specific information. Look what He told him. First, Natalo, He grabbed him. Ve'heziro al kol ilane gan Eden, He showed him all the pleasures of life. Took him all around gan Eden to show him the beautiful world that's there to serve him. Nice. He said, listen, this is this item, is that item, is that item. Amarlo, after he took him and showed him everything, he said to him, I'm sure Adam was like, wow, what a tour. What a world you gave me. All these are serving me. Amarlo re'e ma'asai. Hashem told Adam, look at my handiwork, my work, my creations. Kama na'im umshubahim. You see how perfect they are? How they're going to serve you perfectly? Mishubahim, how praiseworthy they are. Look what I made for you. Hashem is not telling him how great he is. Hashem is telling him, look how perfect and beautiful are the things I made for you. He tells him, "Bekol ma shebarati bishvilcha barati." Just remember, I made all this only for you. Ten datecha, he told him, but make sure you put in your mind, make sure you pay attention. Shelo tekalkel, that you should not ruin ve'tahriv, and destroy et olami, my world. Unbelievable. The first thing Hashem told Adam HaRishon was not, don't mess yourself up. He told him much bigger than that. Make sure you don't ruin the world I've created to serve you. Don't ruin that world. Amazing, you read this one. What do you mean, ruin the world? You mean ruin Adam? No. Besides ruining yourself, you're ruining the world around you. Hashem told Adam HaRishon, you see this world? It is going to respond to you. What you do is going to have an effect on it. Now, you might ask, such a terrible effect? Today that won't happen. You know why? Because there's so many humans in the world. So while one guy may be murdering, but there's 100 guys driving ambulances, saving lives. One guy might be stealing, 100 guys giving charity. So therefore, since the world has so many people, no one person in today's world can make such a mark on the world. Not an apple. We're all making a mark, but it's not going to be felt like the earthquake of Adam. You have to remember, in Adam's world, there was only him and his wife. So whatever they did is going to reach the world. Done. And there's nothing else coming on the other side. So what they do literally changed the world in a very big way. Yes, me and you, if we eat from the forbidden fruit, we don't have the power to change the world in such a manner. We do change the world, but not that much because there's so many other people doing the opposite. And the question of what did we do? We didn't get punished. Adam didn't get punished with death. It wasn't a punishment that he needed to make teshuvah on. It wasn't that kind of thing. It's much deeper than that. He destroyed what God created to serve him. He lowered it. For example, the number one place he destroyed was his body, his physical body. Because by doing the sin, he made his body tameh. That body no longer can gain from being in the spiritual world of Gan Eden. That body is no longer able to reach the connection. You lost your frequency. So Hashem told him, from now on, the only way you're going to be able to connect to that frequency is through your soul, because you destroyed the physical body I gave to help you. I gave you a pure body to help you, serve you, and that body is able to connect spiritually. But from now on, the only way you'll connect spiritually is you got to get that body back to the ground. That body's got to go away, and you're neshama. Tehiyat ametim, when we recreate the body again from the dirt, it could come back pure again, like the one I made for you. That's why Tehiyat ametim is an important part of our existence. It's the where the world's going. Bring back the body, not just alive. Bring it back from its tainted state that Adam messed it up, but it created again. But from now till then, only your soul can reach me, but not your body. So the only way is death. And no longer will the world service you like a 5-star hotel. Yeah, you want barbecue? Well, come eat right over. You want no more. That 5-star service has been tainted because you lowered my world. I told you, do not destroy the world I gave to serve you. Lo tekalkel. Be careful. Don't ruin it. and he ruined it. We're not getting punished because of what he did. That's just the new reality. The new reality is the world has been changed. It's no longer the same world. That's it. Today's class is just the beginning of understanding how our actions have not only effect on our souls, that's easy, not only an effect on our physical body, it's also somewhat easy, but it even affects the world around us, physically around us. And that's a very big deal. Because once you start learning and seeing the world with that eye, you start understanding things on a much deeper level. Be'ezrat Hashem, will be able to understand the dangers of life better through understanding this principle.